We are now on the topic of idolatry, and as we talked about last time, idolatry tends to be one of those sins that we say, not me. It's not me, it's something somebody else, or more than likely, it's so archaic, it's so ancient that we're not guilty of that sin anymore. It's interesting that God, He soaks up two of the Ten Commandments dealing with idolatry. The first one, have no other God before me, make for thyself no graven image. It's interesting, two of the Ten Commandments no longer apply. Is that what we're saying? You know, it's kind of crazy for us to even think that we're immune somehow to idolatry. Simply is not true. In fact, idolatry may be more the rage today than it ever has been because our idols are much more personal. We carry with them in our hearts, and so we started last time looking at this whole issue of idolatry. We're going to continue in that vein today, and we're going to be down here in verse 24 of chapter 6 of Matthew in just a moment. But as we continue this series, I wanted to start you out with a little video clip from a movie called Lord of the Rings. And I don't know if you've seen Lord of the Rings. Not recommended for all audiences, but it was written by a Christian by the name of J.R.R. Tolkien, and it's meant to present, if you will, in a mystical fashion, the teachings of the Scriptures, including a dark lord, a savior, a demon, all these kind of things. Anyway, we're going to be looking at a clip from this in just a second here. There's the beginning. The little guy that's going to come through the door in just a second is a guy by the name of Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins is a hobbit, and he's just happened upon in his life's journeys, his tours, he's happened upon this gold ring. And as far as he's concerned, it's just any regular ring, but it's become very special to him. Unbeknownst to him, this ring belongs to the Dark Lord, Sauron, who plays the role of the devil, if you will, in this trilogy of books and trilogy of movies. It's four books, but and we're going to have a fourth movie, by the way. But nonetheless, he gets this ring, and he thinks it's just nothing, and it begins to deceive him, and he begins to serve it. And we're going to see a scene, a clip demonstrating some of that here in just a second. All right, roll it for me.
I suppose you think that was terribly clever.
Come on, Gandalf. Did you see their faces?
There are many magic rings in this world, Bilbo Baggins, and none of them should be used lightly.
It was just a bit of fun. Oh, you're probably right, as usual. You will keep an eye on Frodo, won't you?
Two eyes.
Yes.
As often as I can spare them.
I'm leaving everything to him.
What about this ring of yours? Is that staying too?
Yes, yes. It's in an envelope over there on the mantelpiece. No. Wait, it's here in my pocket. Isn't that odd now? Yeah. After all, why not? Why shouldn't I keep it?
I think you should leave the ring behind. Well, is that so hard?
Well, no. And yes. Now it comes to it. I don't feel like parting with it. It's mine. I found it. It came to me.
There's no need to get angry.
Well, if I'm angry, it's your fault. It's mine.
My own.
My precious.
Precious?
Famous scene from there, and it's sort of course, the whole movie and the whole book series is called The Lord of the Rings because it's about that ring. That ring is, like I said, unbeknownst to Bilbo, he comes upon it, but it's been laying in a river for thousands of years, and he comes upon it from another creature, actually, and he begins to use this ring, but as he does, he begins to love this ring, he begins to idolize this ring, and when he does that, because of this, the ring begins to control him. It